In show business, Rita Moreno is one of the rare artists to have seemingly done it all. A multi-talented performer and winner of the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Awards, Moreno was recently awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Screen Actors Guild. As a young Puerto Rican immigrant in Hollywood, she fought for screen roles and against stereotyping throughout the 1950s, making an indelible mark with her portrayal of a character very close to her own experience, Anita, in Robert Wise's 1961 film adaptation of West Side Story. I'm Charles Horak. You're listening to On Film. Rita Moreno's performance in West Side Story would garner her an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. Today, we conclude my conversation with Rita Moreno, recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 1st, 2013, before a screening of West Side Story on opening night of the 2013 Plaza Classic Film Festival. The new Rita makes three quick films there, three amazing films, all musicals at MGM, the studio for musicals.
Oh, yeah.
You're playing a Cajun, a
Tahitian. Cajun girl in New Orleans, a Polynesian girl, and...
And then Singing in the Rain, your third film. Imagine
amazing.
That, your third film, Singing in the Rain.
With Gene Kelly. You must have played that here, huh?
We've shown it, yes. And they love
That's got to be one of the best musicals ever, ever, ever. The funniest, too.
Yeah.
I love it. And the wonderful thing is that I didn't have to play a stereotypical Hispanic. My name was Zelda Zandarin, and I thought, oh, good, I don't have to, you know, be stuck with these dusky-skinned ladies with accents. I was wrong.
You must have thought you'd finally broken through some barrier.
I thought I'd broken through.
And then her contract is canceled.
Well, you know, I was always playing these little Latin spitfires. These sexy little things who would say things like, junkie pig, why do you not love Lolita no more? Or, but I gave that accent to all the parts I played. So if I played a Polynesian girl, if I played an Arabian girl, they all sounded like a Puerto Rican. I didn't know, and nobody said anything. So, you know, if you look at me in those old movies, they're hilarious. Because she always talks like this. Even an American Indian girl.
Which you played a lot of.
I played a lot of those girls with feathers coming out of my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buckskins, as you
say. Buckskins, which are freezing.
Pigtails.
Yeah.
So that's most of the 50s, really.
Yeah.
But... Mm-hmm. In that midst, one of those exotics, one of those natives you get to play is in The King and I, 1956, and you meet Jerome Robbins.
I meet Jerome Robbins, the genius choreographer who did all of the choreography for the Broadway production of The King and I. And he just did only, for that movie, he did only the choreography, which is just, oh, it's such a great movie, don't you think? Oh. Do you remember the March of the Siamese Children when all the little kids... Oh, God, is that gorgeous? And he picks up the little one who's on his knees and he turns him around. Remember that? But, yeah. But again, you know, as lovely as the part was, I was still playing someone with an accent. And it drove me nuts. And the film got a number of awards. It did terrifically well. It was a great film. It was a brilliant movie. The important thing that happened there, which is, I think, what you're getting at, I met Jerome Robbins many years later when he was, he had already done West Side Story on the stage, and now they were going to make a film of it. And he knew me because of The King and I, and he suggested to his co-director, Robert Wise, who, by the way, later on directed The Sound of Music, he said, we should see Rita Moreno. She might be good for the part of Anita. And I went in and I auditioned just like everybody else. I tried out for the singing. That went well. I tried out for the acting part. And we did the scene from the candy store. And that went really, really well. And then Jerry Robbins came over to me. He said, now, okay, you have to do an audition for the dancing part. He said, because if you can't cut the dancing, you don't get the part. And he said, really, I want very much to have you in this movie, but... first, you have to prove to me that you can do my steps. And his stuff was really complicated. Well, at that time, I swallowed hard because I hadn't danced in years and years and years. And I was a Spanish dancer, which is a whole nother thing from the kind of dancing that you will see in this movie. It was called jazz. Some people call it modern dancing, but it was certainly not flamenco or bulerias or any of that. It was completely different. I ran to a dancing school and signed up for every class that I could for a whole month. He told me I had a month before I had to audition. And I took up ballet, and I took up jazz, a lot of jazz classes, and I worked my booty off. And I can tell you that I worked so hard, because I was there all day long. I don't know where I got the money to do this. Maybe my mom helped me, because these lessons were expensive. I worked so hard that in one person's class, the teacher after the class said to me, "I don't want you back in my class anymore." And I said, "Oh, God, why?" And she said, "Because you work so hard that you turn a funny shade of purple." And she said, "I'm afraid something bad's going to happen to you, and I don't want it to happen in my class." And I remember going to the bathroom, the ladies' room, and looking in the mirror, and sure enough, my face was the color of an eggplant. It had, in other words, it had gone beyond red. And I worked so hard that I would raise a fever. I would get goosebumps, like when you have a fever, but you're still very, you're very hot, but you're cold.
Chills.
I mean, I had chills. So, I mean, I can only attribute to my surviving that to my great stamina. I'm really rather a strong person. I have a lot of stamina, because I don't know how I survived that. So a month later, they called me in. And let me tell you what an audition is like, a dance audition. You come in, and it's not like when you do a singing audition. When you do singing, you bring in a song that you know and like, and that you know you perform well. And if you're acting, they give you the scene in advance, and you can memorize it. You can go to an acting teacher and try to get that down really well. Dancing, they teach you the steps, then and there. And you then have to put them together, and you do the steps very slowly, putting them together. And then at a certain point, the person who's teaching you these steps will say, "Now do it at tempo, with style and with energy and vivacious." That's very scary. And I was holding my breath. So before I went to the audition, I called a girlfriend who had played Anita on the road company of West Side Story. And I said, "Can you help me? I don't know what to do." So she said, "I will teach you a section of America, and I will teach you a section of the Mambo at the gym. But," she said, "I can't guarantee you that what I'm going to teach you is what they're going to teach you at the audition. It might be other steps." So I said, "Well, teach me anyway, in case I get lucky." I went in there with my heart in my throat, scared to death. And the dance director, not Jerome Robbins, came to me, took my hand. He says, "Okay, did you bring your full skirt? Because it was going to be a lot of skirt stuff." "Yeah, put it on." And then he began to teach me the steps that my girlfriend had taught me.
She's not just strong, she's smart.
Then we get to the dance at the gym, the Mambo at the gym, and I'm thinking, "Oh God, please, please, let it be what I learned." And it was. So here's the wonderful upshot of this story. As soon as I left the studio, Jerome Robbins called the dance director who was teaching me the steps, and he said, "I hope it's good news, because I really would like to hear it in my movie." And the dance director said to him, "You know, she needs some work. I have a feeling she hasn't danced in a while." But he said, "She's very vivacious, and she has a great sense of humor, and she has style and energy." But he said, "I'll tell you what really impressed me," he said, "she learns so fast." And I got an Oscar and a Golden Globe. What a story, huh?
That's what they say, practice, practice, practice. The stakes couldn't have been higher. After a decade of playing Polynesians and Indian maidens and every other type of exotic...
Now I'm playing a real girl.
You get to play a Puerto Rican, and not just a caricature.
No.
But one that you can just unleash all that's been pimped up in you.
All that's been sitting in me for so many years. And that's why the candy store scene, when she goes to try to save the day, she tries to warn Tony, And the Jets begin to maul her. It's called, we used to call it the rape scene, the almost rape scene. And it took a whole week to film that scene, just that one scene. Because it's choreographed, believe it or not, you know, when they're pushing me around and all that. That's choreographed, and it was set to music. And they were calling me these terrible names, Spick, you know, garlic mouth, pierced ear, Bernardo's pig, Bernardo's tramp. And I have to tell you, I hadn't realized that all those years of being called bad names, the hurt had never really left me, and there was a very thin scab. And with those boys, even though I knew them and we were friends, these were the Jets, after we did the last take, I sat down on the candy store counter, put my head on my arm, and started to cry uncontrollably. I could not stop crying. And those kids felt so bad. They said, oh, Rita, you know we love you. You know we're just acting. Oh, my God, the audience is going to hate us. Rita, it's, you know, really, we love you. I couldn't stop crying. These are wounds that just stayed for so long. And I couldn't even tell the story up until a few years ago without still getting tears in my eyes. Wow. The hurt, those hurts are so deep. You know, the wounds are so deep. So, you know, P.S., that's the scene that got me the Oscar. I know it. And the
I think so.
Because it was a very strong scene.
Now, when you watch it, you see that authenticity. It's just right there. You were...
Oh, yeah. When I watched that scene, I still, you know, I sort of... You know,
it's hard to watch.
When they're pushing me around, I still, it's hard for me to look at it.
It's a revolutionary film, I think. It's hard for us to look back 52 years and realize just
52 years?
Amazing.
And I'm only 31. I don't know how that happened.
What's amazing is it sort of has its foot in the 50s, so you have the leads going to, you know, white actors playing Puerto Ricans, and yet the cast still is looking forward because you have so many characters who are played by real Hispanics,
yep,
who are getting to play real Hispanics, even though a number of you still had to wear makeup to homogenize your skin.
All of the Jets had to have extra light makeup. This was Jerome Robbins who insisted on this because he wanted a contrast. And all of the Sharks, the Puerto Rican kids, had to have very dark makeup, which I really resented because, you know, we're so many colors. And particularly in Puerto Rico, we've got... My grandmother was a Spaniard. I'm the fairest person in my family. But I have an aunt who's the color of copper. So I remember saying to the makeup man, why do we all have to be this... And it was a muddy kind of color, not a pretty makeup at all. And he misunderstood me and thought that I just didn't want to play a Hispanic. So he accused me of racial prejudice.
After all those years. But Natalie Wood, you can tell a little bit, if you watch the film closely, that she doesn't quite gel with the rest of the cast on the Puerto Rican side.
Natalie really didn't want to do it originally. And they just kept upping the price. They just really, until they made an offer she just couldn't refuse, literally. And she took the part, and then I know that she regretted it because she felt very out of her element, which indeed she was. She was very miscast, and she wasn't comfortable. And you could tell, you know, when a Puerto Rican girl like Anita is speaking to her, it's like there should be almost a screen between the two of them because they're talking at each other instead of to each other, simply because the disparity is so great. She is so much an American girl trying very hard. You know, I can't blame her. She was hired to do it. I blame the producers. But she was not comfortable, and as a result, she wasn't warm to us. She wasn't ever rude. She wasn't ever mean, nothing like that. But she wasn't comfortable. Dancers are very rowdy people. There's a reason they call us gypsies. We're loud. Sometimes we're vulgar. And we're like children. We're very loud children.
You're like a gang.
But, you know, a very sweet and friendly gang. Just very loud. And she could never kind of get with us. And we certainly couldn't with her. And it's a shame.
Your co-star, George Chakiris.
Chakiris.
You got to spend a lot of time with them.
Gorgeous Greek. He's still my dearest friend. He's my daughter's godfather.
You stay in touch?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when I'm in L.A., I get together with the some of the people who were the dancers, who were the Sharks, and the Jets. You know, we get together and party and have fun and scream at each other a lot. I still call them the kids, which is hilarious. These kids, some of them have a paunch and no hair. But dancers have always called each other the kids. So they're still... they're fat, some of them. But they're the kids to me.
What's fascinating to me is you finally have this moment where you're being recognized for your acting. You're getting to tear yourself into this performance, this character that's been waiting for you, it seems like, your destiny through your whole life, the thing you've been looking for.
It changed my life.
And she's written a beautiful memoir, but you title the chapter about this period of your life, West Side Story Saved My Life.
It did. It did for a number of reasons. First of all, I got an example or a model of a Latina woman who was a very positive one. The first time ever in my life. This girl was strong. She had opinions. And she wanted respect and demanded respect. I'd never played anyone like that before. And then I got two astonishing awards for that. For my work and my efforts, I got the Golden Globe, which is the Foreign Press Award, for Best Featured Actress, and the Oscar for Best Featured Actress. So that was... I mean, you have to think. Put yourself in my shoes. I'm still, in my head, I've always been this little Puerto Rican girl. Honest to God. She lives in me. She will not go away. And imagine having your name called... Just put yourself in that place and being brought up to the stage and receiving an Oscar. It's an unbelievable experience.
Not just any Oscar. You were the first Hispanic woman to ever receive an Oscar.
First and the only.
We hope to correct that soon.
The first and the only so far. Rosie Perez got close. She was nominated, I think it was for White Men Can't Jump. But I thought, oh, she's going to break my record. Not very generous of me, right?
You know, we look up here on this huge screen and see all this assertiveness and your talent, and we think, well, that's someone who's really got it together. And to read your book and know how fragile you still were and what this movie did for you, what that part, what those accolades did for you. What's fascinating, though, is what I think really brought you around is what your community did for you.
Oh, you want me to tell that story?
Yes, I think so. Because, you know, it's one thing to have actors say...
As Latinos, you will love this story. Even if you're not Latino, you will love this story. Up until the time West Side Story came out, I'd had very little communication with the Hispanic community. And I often wondered, as an actress, why don't I get any fan letters from my people? And they were very sparse. You know, I'd get maybe three or four every 2 or 3 months, something like that. I would get other fan mail, but not from my community. And I never could understand that. And I thought, well, maybe they don't like what I'm doing. And then I finally understood that the Hispanic community, particularly at that time, it wasn't in the culture. You did not write fan letters. It just didn't, because it wasn't part of our culture. So that's why I never heard. And I thought, well, I guess they don't think of me very much. Then here's the story they opened my eyes that I love, which made me cry when I heard it. Liz Torres. Do you remember Liz Torres? She's a comedian. Anyway, she's Hispanic and she's Puerto Rican. She told me that she, the night of the Oscars, she was living in the barrio in New York City, and that normally the barrio is a very noisy place. You know, I'm a noisy Puerto Rican. We are. Most of us, we talk loud, we laugh loud, we cry loud. And she said when the actor Rock Hudson came up to announce the nominees for the best featured actress in a movie, she said suddenly that whole neighborhood, that entire barrio, buildings and buildings with the windows open because it was a very hot night, became absolutely silent. She said you could hear a pin drop, which is unheard of in the barrio. So he called out the names of the nominees for Best Actress, and she said that when my name was called out as the winner, the entire neighborhood went crazy. They were screaming out the window, "She did it! She did it! Coño se la comió! She did it! She did it!" And, you know, they were yelling and shouting out the windows at each other. And I realized then that what they were really saying was, "We did it. We did it. One of our own did it." When she told me that story, I finally understood why I had never heard, but I cried. And I couldn't tell this story till about a year ago without just getting tears in my eyes, because it means so much to me. My connection to my people is so important to me, and that's why I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you for coming.
This is truly a Hollywood treasure and a living legend. Rita Moreno, everyone.
I've been discussing the making of Robert Wise's 1961 film adaptation of West Side Story with one of the film's biggest stars, Rita Moreno. Moreno would win the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for her portrayal of Anita in this groundbreaking musical. The preceding was recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 1, 2013, before a screening of West Side Story at the 2013 Plaza Classic Film Festival. Rita Moreno was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Screen Actors Guild in January of this year for her more than 60-year career, and she became a best-selling author last year with the publication of Rita Moreno, a memoir. For part one of my conversation with Rita Moreno, log on to ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.